Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Well, how in the world are you? Doing all right? I certainly trust so. And if you've struck a hard day, just look up and say, Lord, see me through this one. And He will, I assure you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Today, Dave and Bethley continue Influences That Kill Potential from Proverbs 13. So let's join them right now.
We are in the middle of this series, Happy Life and Happy Family. Many of you were with us when we talked about right. We have to emphasize righteousness. We have to emphasize diligence. We have to emphasize God's blessings. We have to emphasize integrity. We have to emphasize the value of our words. And over the last 2 weeks, we have to emphasize the blessings and dangers of influence.
And really, when you look at it in all in a nutshell like that, it can seem a little overwhelming and think, I have to train my children in all of this in order for us to have a happy, successful family. It can be daunting, but this is just practical everyday life. As you're walking through life, just like the book of Deuteronomy teaches us, as you're walking through life, these issues will come up, whether it has to do with God's blessings or righteousness or influences or integrity, and you just teach as you go.
And there's a couple of truths we wanted to share with you. One being that, if you remember, the best influences are those that impart righteousness and wisdom. We talked about that adults are better influences than peers. We talked about the fact that we have to protect our children from lousy friends.
Yes.
And we spent a long time on that one. And we ended last week by just talking about that sometimes we have to be willing to be drastic as long as we have the power to do it. Our children's future depends on it. Because the Bible says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we need to think about that. We're going to close out this session today, this particular little theme on influence, with just a reminder that we have to protect our children from all foolish influences. And there's a couple we want to highlight for you, especially the internet, social media, mm-hmm. music, and movies.
Yes.
And all of these have great blessings to them. Social media is such a wonderful tool. The internet is an incredible technological advancement. Music has always been a part of life. And movies, what a privilege that God has let us live in the generation to where we can learn from movies, where we can have time to relax, where we can have time. It is really amazing how blessed we are.
Oh, isn't yes. it? Absolutely.
Just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But we do need to be very cautious that we are protecting our children from these influences. And the internet is a huge one.
Yes.
And to get us started, there's just several things I wanted to draw your attention to. And one was an article that was written in these. I often follow access.org. And the other one about Young Minds, I can't remember the whole phrase there. And I'll have to find that and share it with you here on the platform. But one of these websites published an article recently, and it basically says, in an era where nearly 40% of kids ages 8 to 12 are actively engaged on social media platforms, we have to reevaluate the age of introduction.
Isn't that amazing? Because I think most social media sites have a minimal age.
They
don't
do.
They?
They do.
So that parents allow their children to lie.
Yes. In fact, this particular article said this, due to the evolving research, we recommend a minimum of 16 years old before introducing your child to social media. And so the question was, okay, why? And there were several reasons. One was because social media influences identity development. Dr. Murthy, who is the U.S. Surgeon General under President Biden, meticulously compiled numerous studies in his recent advisory on social media. He raised alarm bells all over the place about the profound risk of harm to the mental health and well-being of children and adolescents. In an interview with CNN, he said, and I quote, "Early adolescence is a time where kids are developing their identity, their sense of self. It's a time where it's really important for us to be thoughtful about what's going on and to how they think about their self-worth and their relationships and the skewed and often distorted environment of social media often does a disservice to many of those children." He even stated that based on the data, the age of 13 is too early. He says, and I quote, if parents can band together and say, you know, as a group, we're not going to allow our kids to use social media until 16 or 17 or 18 or whatever age they choose, that's a much more effective strategy in making sure your children, your kids, don't get exposed to harm early, end of quote. Now, this is not a Christian. Dr. Murthy is a politician.
Yes.
The U.S. Surgeon General. This goes on. So the first thing they said was, we have to be careful about the influence of internet because it affects identity development, but also because it affects brain development. And the chief science officer for the American Psychological Association, Mitch Prinstein, co-authored a long-term study on adolescents' neural development and social media use and published it in an article. The study's findings suggest that checking social media repeatedly among young teens aged 12 to 13 is associated with changes in how their brains develop. Mm-hmm. The brains of adolescents who check social media often, more than 15 times per day, became more sensitive to social feedback. The average person spends 2 hours and 27 minutes on social media a day. Teens get as many as 237 notifications a day on their phone. So he said in his written testimony to the United States Senate Committee on Judiciary, and here's a quote, developmental neuroscientists have revealed that there are two highly critical periods for adaptive neural development. One of these is the first year of life. Mm-hmm. The second begins at the outset of puberty and lasts until early adulthood, from approximately the age of 10 to 25 years of age. This latter period is highly relevant, as this is when a great number of youths are offered relative unfettered access to devices, unrestricted and unsupervised use of social media and other online platforms. And he warned, our research demonstrates that checking behaviors on social media could have long-standing and important consequences for the adolescent's neural development, which is critical, he says. And he goes on CNBC to say, I certainly don't think anyone under 13 should be using social media. Unfettered access without any screen controls or parental monitoring, that should probably be delayed until at least 16. Is this not amazing?
It is.
And so there's a problem we have here with our identity development, our brain development. But then the article goes on to list, those aren't the only additional or the only negative impacts. Here are additional ones. The internet and social media lead to sleep deprivation, which always affects our mental health and physical health negatively. Access to porn, as far as we can tell, nearly or every social media platform contains explicit content. Children exposed to such content at a young age develop distorted views of both sexuality and human relationships. Mm-hmm. There's also the idea of harmful content. Social media feeds are riddled with cyberbullying, profanity, and hate speech. Young users cannot mentally or emotionally face these harms. In fact, most adults can't. There's addictive algorithms. Dr. Murthy, our Surgeon General, points out that social media platforms are designed to be addictive. And it makes it an unfair battle for children to be pitted against the world's best product designers. Mm. Replacing parental controls is the other negative influence. Officer Gomez, a respected figure in child safety, warns that social media can replace parental roles. Excessive time spent on these platforms can lead children to being influenced by values that may not align with family values. And then here's the last thing I'll read from this article. He says this, is Officer Gomez, social media replaces family values with values parents may or may not agree with. And I mentioned this in our first series on influence. He says, if your teen is on social media 4 to 10 hours a day, that's the natural national average, that pretty much means somebody else is raising your children. Mm-hmm. Please keep in mind that there are research facilities calculating the best ways to keep your teen addicted to social media. My strong advice is that you wait as long as possible before introducing your kids to what will likely become some level of addiction, end of quote. So all this to say, this is an influence area where we have to use great wisdom as moms and dads in our society.
Absolutely.
We have, and I think I'm right about this, we have always held our children off till the age of 17.
Yes, and only then based on their maturity level.
Yes, and that you turn 17 is not a guarantee that you get to use the internet or social media. It is the first potential for you to use the internet and social media.
Right, and as long as they're in late high school and college, we reserve the right to take them off of social media.
Yes. So let's talk about the internet just a little bit here, and then we'll talk about social media. When it comes to the internet, there's a few suggestions, Beth, and I would make. How do you protect your children from these foolish influences? Well, have them use the internet only when they are supervised.
Right. It should always be in an open area. There should never, you know, with a closed door, and they just have unlimited access.
Never, ever, ever alone. Right. Never. Even maybe make this a rule, moms and dads. The internet cannot be used just for fun. So it would only have to be used on purpose. That's a very difficult one in our generation because the internet is our entertainment.
Right. You can scroll YouTube. You can look up how-to videos and all kinds of things like that.
So you have to be very careful. At the minimum, only when supervised. Teach our children not to use it just for boredom. When I'm bored, I have nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. So I would say, first of all, make sure you put up some protections. There's a program called Gryphon, Gryphon, mm-hmm. that filters all the internet coming into your house. And you give permission for each device that's using the internet. And you also can get records for each device so that you would know by looking it up on their program what has been used. We use Covenant Eyes for the same reason. It's yes. a similar one. Mm-hmm. And that even goes on our children's phones and our computers and our iPads. Bethy and I have tried to make it a real point in our life that we frequently check our children's phones and computer histories.
Yes.
And when our children get into junior high school, because they often at that point begin being, you know, out with other people, maybe on a youth group night, going out to eat or going somewhere with the youth department, we felt like they need a phone at that point. So we give them locked down phones when they are younger.
Right.
And primarily when they're in the youth group, they get a locked down phone. It means they cannot use the internet on that phone, but they can use apps. So we use Marco Polo.
Right.
We use messaging. And those you have to be careful about, because some of the apps have access to the internet as a back door.
Right.
So we are continually checking phones. We set limits, like our children, you know, basically at bedtime, the phone then shuts down. So right. all you can do is message. And then we even choose who they can message after bedtime. And moms and dads, if you don't know how to do that, it's time to do research. Mm-hmm. You should. If you have a child with a phone, and they have no controls on that phone. You haven't set how much time they can be on social media, how much time they can play a video game, when the phone shuts down so that they cannot be on it, who they can and cannot text. Moms and dads, I say this gently, but you're failing to protect your children from wrong influences. And your children will be influenced by the internet. And most often, according to every statistic in every place it's been given and tested, most often, the internet will influence your children negatively more than positively. There are very few examples of it doing it positively. It is designed to influence our children negatively.
And don't swallow the lie that, well, that's their phone, that's their computer. I don't have a right to that. That's theirs. They have a right to their privacy. They live in your house. You have a right to know what's going on in your house, even if it's on a technological device. And that is your child. You need to direct them, train them in the way they should go. And if they have bad influences coming in on their technological device, then you need to stop it.
And I'm going to just remind you, moms and dads, as well, there is nothing private about the internet. So a lot of parents will say, well, I don't want to check my kid's phone because that's their private. It's not private. It is public, and it is owned by the internet world. Every digital footprint your children leaves is available and can be found and used against them if it's something that profits those who are evil. And so don't think in terms of, well, this is private, so I can't do it. We have found that in checking their phones and computer histories, that often it's good to schedule it, but also to keep it random and sometimes to make it a surprise.
Yes.
The surprise checks have occasionally found something that we had to deal with. And it is better to deal with things when they are small than to wait for them to become huge issues down the road, sometimes that are even legal. Because sometimes children stumble into a world of child pornography or some such. And whereas they were not meaning to do wrong, yet they were breaking international laws or state laws. And sometimes it has gotten into massive legal ramifications for a child. Moms and dads, we're saying, when the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." One of those foolish companions can be the internet.
Well, this is your good friend Michael Barnett, and you just listened to the continuation of a very important subject from the Proverbs, Influences That Kill Potential, from Proverbs 13. Tomorrow, they'll be continuing this important subject. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.